Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper.
And Murray.
Casper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper.
And Murray.
Casper.
Final hour of Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You know, there's a lot we've discussed thus far today. If you want to continue to yammer on about the Celtics, have at it. Do you still want Anthony Davis? We unpacked everything that we possibly could about Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, the unfortunate loss for the Bruins to the Blues on Wednesday night. David Ortiz getting shot, this Nick Caserio story, which I think we're both in agreement, Chris, that there's probably more behind that in terms of the mass exodus that we've seen behind the scenes with the Patriots this offseason. There's a couple of itches I want to scratch, though, here. One, something's annoyed me. It really hasn't gotten much traction because, you know, I don't know how many people are actually paying attention to the Women's World Cup. But I will say, I'm biased. Like, I like the Women's World Cup. I've paid attention to it in the past. The U.S. team is dominant. And attractive, but dominant. And the reason I'm biased is for years, you know, Sarge, you're a PA guy. You currently do it for the Boston Cannons, the local lacrosse pro team.
Thank you for the plug.
For years, I was the PA guy, the public address announcer, for the Boston Breakers, which I don't think exists anymore.
No.
Yeah, so that was the women's pro soccer team here in town. So I enjoyed it. I think it's a more open game. You don't see as much flopping as you do in the men's game. And unlike the U.S. men, the women win. But in their opening game against Thailand, they scored 13 goals, which, for those of you not familiar all that much with soccer, is the equivalent of winning like an American football game like 100-0. And boy, a lot of people, a lot of nanas, real mad. It's bad form. And look, I'm a Shaughnessy fan. He's your colleague at the Globe, obviously. There, you know, a lot of tenure there at the Boston Globe. But I can't.
I'm a big Shaughnessy fan.
What's he doing writing this column today? U.S. women's soccer team running up the score on Thailand was a bad look. A bad look? No, it wasn't. Even Hope Solo, takes to social media and gets in front of her cameras like, oh, that was unbecoming of my former teammates. And says, oh, you're just bitter, bitter Betty. Like 13-0, it was awesome. It was on during Phil Grimes earlier this week. I was enjoying it and like kind of getting whooped up. Yeah, dominate. That's the American way.
So
crush these lesser countries.
So I'm with you 100% on that, Jim. And Shaughnessy said this in the column because I read it, and I thought it was a good column, even though I disagree with him. He basically said that people are, this is polarizing. You're in one of two camps, and you're never going to change the other camp's mind. I am with you. I vividly remember the original Dream Team, the one and only Dream Team in 1992, Barcelona.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. I'm serious. I wanted them to beat teams so badly that the basketball was an object of shame in these other countries and that they just quit playing the sport. That's what I wanted. I wanted that level of dominance, that they just stopped playing.
And that's what I want with these, with the Women's World Cup team, the U.S. team. I really do, because they're that talented. They should crush these teams. So I'm going to read some excerpts here from Dan's column. Like he says, in case you missed it, Tuesday, Americans beat Thailand 13-0 in their opening cup match. Our players never let up and celebrated every goal with exuberance you'd expect to see if somebody hit a walk-off grand slam in the seventh game of the World Series. And they did, and good for them. I found it wildly entertaining. In the aftermath of our World Cup slaughter and the odious self-congratulations that accompanied each goal, even the ones after we reached double figures, some criticism was aimed at the American squad. This triggered the standard angry defenses from the Coliseum crowd. If you don't like it when we score so much, shut up and figure out how to stop us. Yep, that's definitely
the old Jimmy Johnson.
Yep, you would definitely get that.
He was
from
at
me.
Miami. That's what he said.
Thailand didn't want us to pull back. That would be insulting and patronizing. This is the World Cup, not 6-year-old soccer in Newton. You're probably one of those liberal parents who want everyone to get a trophy. Oh, I would definitely yell something like that too. On and on it goes. So he goes on to say here, okay, first we have the phony argument that we might need those goals later on. And so that's what a lot of people have argued because, you know.
Goal differential makes a difference.
Goal differential is factual. That matters.
Seeding, it does matter.
But he goes on to use the old tomato can line. America is in a bracket with powerful Sweden and two tomato cans, Thailand and Chile. Everyone knows the U.S. and Sweden will advance. As for who gets the higher seed in the next round, no one knows if the top seed will actually make it for an easier path. Commentator Heather O'Reilly, a former U.S. World Cup competitor, said the best way to show respect was to run up the score, adding these countries need to improve. Yeah, get them, Heather. I think the Thai players knew they needed to improve long before watching our players showboating after goals that made it 12-0 and 13-0. So much joy, so much winning, but too many goals and too many choreographed celebrations after the outcome was long decided. I know this is not youth soccer, but is it too much to ask for a little old-fashioned dignity and sportsmanship, even at this high level of play? So this is where I will give him some credit. He actually rags on himself here, where he says, I know this qualifies me as a pearl-clutching old-timer full of righteous indignation. I'll own that. And that's what he comes off as. Like, what's wrong with some celebrating? Like, who cares? They should. I'm with you on this. Just like the old Dream Team. Like,
crush these countries. Crush their will to live. Yes, crush their hopes and dreams.
But, you know, okay, so I can get that from a columnist like Dan.
I'm an ugly American as a sports. Like,
me too.
As an international sports fan, like the Olympics, any of this stuff, I am an ugly American. I'll own that.
So, okay, I can get it. Like, he can be a bit of a crank, and he's a columnist. But the one I like, Hope Solo talking back, like, yeah, are you just mad you have nothing to do with the team anymore, and she's kind of a nut? Like, that was the one. It's like, oh, shut your mouth.
Like, yeah, that was a little surprising, because she was a hyper-competitive player.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was sort of her thing, is that, you know, her emotions would get the best of her, and, you know, she was a trash talker and all that stuff. I was a little surprised by that. I don't, you know, sometimes when people get in those roles as an analyst, they don't tell you what they believe. They tell you what they think they should say or what they think people want to hear. Like, I thought there was a little bit of that with Paul Pierce this year on the NBA stuff, where it's like, you're just trying to stand out. And maybe that's what happened with Hope Solo. Or she's just super, super bitter about her treatment from U.S. soccer.
But the U.S. women's team takes on Chile tomorrow. If you're home, it's supposed to rain, so it's not going to be as nice as today. Tune them in. If you haven't watched it, I think they're a good take. I genuinely like the U.S. women's soccer team. I like the Women's World Cup. I think it's pretty good, you know, when there's not much else going on. And the Red Sox are just middling. And oof.
What are you talking about, man? The Red Sox are surging here.
Oh, yeah.
6 home runs last night.
Great.
You sound like Jones.
Oh, no, I can't do it anymore.
I know.
I can't. I've tapped out. Like, I can't. Like,
baseball reporter 6-7, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm super pumped when I have to fill in for that, let me tell you. The other story.
So with the fans, too. The guy who called in and, you know, basically said you didn't know anything about baseball?
Yeah. I know. I can't with the sport anymore. It's not just a Red Sox thing. Like, hurry up, throw the ball. 4-hour games. Like, I saw some of the people, you know, credit to John Tomasi, who now covers the Sox for NBC Sports Boston. He was like, that might have been their best win of the season. It was also maybe the most unwatchable. 4 hours plus the other night, and they come back and beat Texas. Like, okay, great. I'll take your word for it. Over my dead body, am I going to sit there and watch that effing sport for 4 hours? It ain't happening, especially when the NBA final game is on. The other story, I wanted to scratch this itch, because this one, I don't know if a lot of people paid attention to this. This is, with everything going on locally, Kellen Winslow Jr., you may remember him from his time at the U with the whole, I'm an effing soldier, like that crazy press.
Oh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, that little press conference he had at his locker some years back. So he's a monster. He's been convicted of rape, indecent exposure, lewd conduct. But now stories of his deviant behavior during his NFL days are coming to light. There was a big column in Sports Illustrated this week that has a lengthy account that was published after his conviction. It showed your warning signs of a truly unstable monster who couldn't control his sexual urges. He would watch hardcore porn on team flights, take care of himself in public places. Brown's equipment manager once found him taking care of himself in his Hummer. Two of his teammates told SI he would often have an empty seat next to him on team flights because of his porn habit. Think about that for a moment. Like, say you know, collectively, we here at the sports have had to take a trip, maybe out to the Super Bowl. We all had to get on a chartered flight.
And Felger's in first class, and we're all in coach.
Right. And you're sitting next to Sarge, and we find out that Sarge is just a sexual deviant.
Do you have to use me?
Well, you're in the room, Sarge. Yes, I'm going to use you as an example.
All right, go ahead.
And poor Chris,
most likely candidate.
Gasper's trying to file a column. And, you know, Sarge over there opens up Pornhub. He gets on the Wi-Fi. He's like, oh, I got to take care of myself right now. Like, I got to give myself a Sarge salute. You're like, I can't sit next to him. Like, you should be locked up for that. This is what this guy would do, whether he was with the Browns, his stop in Tampa with the Bucks, and even at the end with the Jets. So I'm going to go on here. Winslow played 9 seasons, like I said, Browns, Bucks. Oh, that's right. He was with the Pats for a cup of coffee, too.
I was just going to say, I didn't know if you remember that.
He made a habit out of watching porn on his smartphone, often in team meetings. On road trips, he would reportedly take care of himself in his hotel room, no matter who was in the room. I want to circle back to that in a moment. Leading to teammates asking not to be assigned to share a room with him. This is what could happen to you, Sarge. You'd be the pariah of the sports hub because you can't help yourself. Like, I can't room with Sarge because he's trying to give himself the Sarge salute late at night when I'm trying to go to sleep. Later in his career, this is where it really gets horrifying. Later in his career, Winslow would take a silicone mold of a woman's torso, which included 2 entries, and he would take it on road trips, said one assistant coach. Winslow, again, convicted of raping a 58-year-old homeless woman. You read this story at SI. Like, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. But the warning signs, the warning signs were there. And this is, leads me to my bigger point, and then I'll get back to the point where the people wouldn't want to room with him, because I've unfortunately had to deal with this kind of thing. Report people like this. I don't know if it's to authorities or people above you, if it's a workplace. Like, why do people just shut up and say, like, hey, he's a freak. I just don't want to have it in front of me, so I won't room with him. Like, I don't know. Like, this kind of stuff makes me crazy to hear these stories, like, years later. Like, the warning signs were there. Get these people locked up well ahead of time before they start, you know, doing awful things like raping homeless women and, you know, breaking into homes for another attempted rape on, like, a 73-year-old woman. Like, the warning signs were there. Kellen Winslow should have been in handcuffs years ago. Same thing with, like, you know, you have, like, a deviant teen who's, like, ripping the legs off mice, killing cats, that kind of thing. Oh, and then we're all shocked, like, years later, like, well, he stormed into his workplace and shot everybody up. And then you hear all those kind of stories. Like, report these people. Get them locked up, or at least get them mental help. This guy, all the warning signs were there. It makes me crazy to hear all this, you know, years later. Like, oh, well, no, he had that torso with him, and we just didn't want to room with him. And he constantly had to, like, be watching porn on his phone while in team meetings or on the plane. Like, lock up the freaks is what it really comes down to. I unfortunately have a friend who thankfully didn't turn out to be a freak, but I do this road trip every year with my friends.
Sure.
This will be the 12th one we're doing this summer. We call it TOTA. The acronym is Trip of the Ages.
Oh, cool.
My friend, I'll remain, one of these guys on this trip will remain nameless. Like, a real, early on in this trip, he has a real, like, heavy sexual appetite. And I had to room with him one of these nights, and he was, like, all horned up. Like, because we were out at some club or whatever, and, you know, things, he didn't end up hooking up with someone, and this is, you know, going back like a decade. And he's just, all of a sudden, is like, I gotta take care of myself. And I was like, huh? What? Like, you know, you're like, in theory? And he's like, no, I gotta do it right now. Like, you're gonna have to leave, unless you want to sit here or go in the bathroom. I was like, wait, no, can it wait, dude? Like, he's like, nope. And then he immediately started watching porn on his phone. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll take a walk. I'll come back in 10 minutes. And in the back of my mind, I thought, I'm like, am I going to have to report him? Am I going to have to tell the other friends? Like, he has to be banned from this trip. But this particular friend, again, has a very voracious sexual appetite at that time. And thankfully, it's tempered itself. And he doesn't do this kind of thing anymore. But I will tell you, in that moment, I did want to report my friend, like these former teammates should have reported Kellen Winslow, because that is deviant, disgusting behavior. I get it. Like, sometimes you just don't know what to do with yourself. Maybe you got to take a shower. But to have that feeling where it's like, well, I don't know if you're going to have to sit around and watch. I got to take care of it right now. Like, that I don't understand. Like, you're a freak. A freak's freak. I don't get it.
Ugh.
So, Kellen Winslow, lock him up. Shaughnessy, I think you're too much of a crank for being mad about the 13 goals. Like, who really cares? The celebrations were a good thing. And I hope they crush Chile tomorrow, too, to the tune of 20 goals.
And thus concludes Jim Murray's Andy Rooney segment of Gasper and Murray.
Yeah, and clean up your act over there, Sarge. Don't watch Pornhub on our Sports Hub trips. We know what you're up to.
Oh, please.
We'll have to maybe have you locked up. Stop giving yourself the old Sarge salute of the day over there.
Well, it's a dishonorable discharge.
See? Working a little blue, too. All right, if you want to join us on anything that we've discussed at this point, from David Ortiz's shooting, the Nick Caserio story, that news dump yesterday, the Celtics, you want Anthony Davis, or any of these two things we just discussed, 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, @TheRealOJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Oh, this was the other thing, the other itch I wanted to scratch. A double murderer has come to Twitter. That is O.J. Simpson, who made his video announcement this morning that, yes, at the real OJ32 is now on Twitter. If you want to follow the hijinks of a double murderer who got away with it. And that last line there, if you weren't paying attention, I got a little getting even to do. So God bless and take care. With who, Juice? Because you got to protect your neck, unfortunately, because, like, you know, what is it, 25 years later, you got away with that, and here you are coming to Twitter. But that will be odd. I won't be following. Many of you, hey, go do what the hell you want. It's free country. But that'll be odd. Like, you know, you get the odd like or the follow from OJ. Maybe he's got to get even to do with you. I just find that kind of distasteful. Like, go off. You got away with it, dude. The world doesn't need you. The world doesn't need more Juice. They certainly don't need your video updates and your takes on things on Twitter. But that's the world we live in now.
It is the world we live in.
I can't say I'm all that surprised.
There's not much of a difference between being famous or infamous. Either way, you get your platform and your time. And, yeah, people will, you know, sort of. It's sort of like I know, I feel like you've been watching this. I haven't seen it yet. But I guess there's been an uptick in tourism to Chernobyl after this series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did you watch it, by the way?
I haven't seen it
yet. Oh, it's great. It's so, so good. And I remember it because I'm old enough to remember that. And, like, you know, the last true terror of living under the Cold War and thinking you might get nuked. And a lot of that has to do with having watched the movie the day after in 1983.
Oh, I know that movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy, yeah.
It'll put the fear of the nuke in you like you don't believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that one.
You youngs have no idea what it was like to live under the fear of getting nuked someday and having to go down to your basement and essentially make your own grave.
It wouldn't even matter, too. All the things you're like hiding under your desk, like any of that stuff, you'd just be eviscerated. Like it was all, I mean, it was all just basically propaganda to make you feel like there was a chance of survival because there was none.
Yeah, duck and cover. It's so that whoever lived could find you easier is what it was. No, so just real quick, for those that you have to be of a certain age to remember this, it was a made-for-TV movie that they put on in primetime called The Day After, starring Jason Robards,
yeah,
that showed what would happen if there was World War III and the U.S. got nuked. And it's the most terrifying thing you would ever watch in your entire life. Like, people got eviscerated. There's no survival. And the survival is pure hell anyway,
exactly,
even if you happen to make it through. And this was on, like, 8 o'clock on a random Monday in an effort to try to help Reagan get reelected, because I think it came out in 83. And let me tell you, because I'm talking so vividly about this, because I remember it, because I was 6 or whatever it was, and I watched this. I had no business watching it. And
you watched this? Really?
Oh, Chris.
You're 6?
I mean, I essentially grew up in front of a television. And that movie scared me so badly. Oh, my God. So much. So I remember when Chernobyl happened, too. I was like, oh, well, it's all a matter of time before the fallout comes our way and we're going to die. I was in fourth grade or whatever the hell it was, in fifth grade in 86 or whenever that happened. But that movie, yeah, since it's happened, you got people going to visit Chernobyl to take their stupid selfies there. Well, reap what you sow. I hope your fingers fall off when you're eating soup, because you shouldn't go to one of the most dangerous and radioactive places on the planet so you can take a cool selfie. Dumbest time to be alive. It truly is. All right, I said enough. Jake in Boston, hello.
Hey, Jim, I can't believe I agree with Shaughnessy, because he dropped the line with no detail and people aren't talking about it. Winning the group and this 13-0 victory means you've got to go through the three best teams in the tournament, potentially, to just make the Women's World Cup final. That is France in a quarterfinal and either Germany or England in a semifinal. No one's talking about it. I respect your soccer knowledge. So I figure I'd bring it up, because they don't want to win the group. They want to finish second and get what is a coastal path to that final. Celtics, for 1 second, Jaylen Brown is the cancer on this team. He embodies everything that's wrong with an entitled, think they know it all millennial who took one college course, and that was a Perry Edwards at Cal. He, not Kyrie, was the dynamic that tore this locker room apart. It was his fault, intellectualism. And listen, what third year player is sitting on there as their team's rep player for the players union? What third year player is doing that, as opposed to a 10-year vet, an 8-year vet, heck, a 15-year vet, or even Al Horford? It makes no sense. I would sacrifice everything to get rid of him. He's the thing that's tearing you apart at its core. Build around anyone else. Build around Tatum, for crying out loud. Just don't let that kid speak. Let him stick to sticking a ball in a hoop, at least until he wins a ring like Kyrie. And I let Kyrie off the hook for that.
Well, I know you hate all that there, Chris.
Pretty much hate every single thing he said. Yeah, just put a ball in a hoop, and that's, you know.
But I do, okay, like, that was a harsh critique of Jaylen Brown, and in fact, I think that's one of the guys
that don't try and be anything other than a player.
I'd rather him stay than Jason Tatum. I think there actually might be more upside with Brown. But I do think that he might have been part of the problem. I mean, I think that he and Kyrie clashed.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, look, I think it's fair to say that they clashed, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he was part of the problem. I think if you're asking me, from what I understand, and this is not my opinion, this is informed opinion at this point, from what I understand, one of the bigger problems or the biggest problem was Rozier. You know, and to me, that speaks to the entire culture. The guy, a guy who's basically ninth in the rotation, can kind of pop off and say he sacrificed the most. And then Danny's saying, like, oh, well, we'll basically welcome him back with open arms. And I think he'd be happy here if he had the right role. So I think he was a lot worse than Jaylen Brown. And you know what? When Jaylen Brown came out and said what he said after that game in Brooklyn, ironically enough, about Kyrie Irving criticizing everybody and we can't tear each other down, I think he was speaking for a lot of other guys on that team. And I think there was a divide between some of the young guys and the veterans on that team. So I don't agree with what he said about Jaylen Brown. And I don't think it's a bad thing that he's the player rep, that he's educated himself on the CBA and that he wants to be a player rep and that he's doing that. Now, look, maybe is there a part of this where he's a younger, and this happens to all of us when we're young, where you're young and you think you know more than you really do. Maybe that's true.
No, I think that he is trying to branch out and become a, you know, he strikes me as a really intelligent dude. I think that's one of his better attributes. What I don't like, get the hell away from Carmelo Anthony. Why are you practicing with that dud? Like, get away from Melo. Like, sure. That. Don't get that guy's stink on you.
Yeah.
Quickly, Tom in the car on the Women's World Cup. Hey, Tom.
Peanut butter, how you doing, man?
Oh, good. How are you? Now I have to go with you.
A couple real quick things. One on the soccer and then one on the Bruins, if I can. I haven't read the Shaughnessy article yet, but I tend to agree with probably the bulk of what he's saying. I'm going to read it after. My big thing was I didn't have a problem with the scoring. It was the over-the-top celebrating for each goal, particularly when they got into the 10, 11, 12, 13. I thought that was just ridiculous. No need for it. Am I on?
Yeah.
Go on this thing.
Okay. I mean, just looking at it, just had a bad look. And you wonder where the ugly American term comes. That was the Exhibit A. Secondly, as far as the Bruins go, you know, the thing that really bothered me is all the Bruins people were saying, oh, how much more skill they have, how much more talent they have. And I disagreed with that 100%. St. Louis was extremely skilled, just in a different way. The way they forecheck, the way they use their sticks, the way they position their bodies, the way they have gap control, just the overall play as a unit. I thought they had tremendous skill. They just didn't have the tic-tac-toe plays like a, you know, Pacherack or
Thanks for the call. I'm gonna let you go on that. It's, yeah, they don't in terms of like the speed and that wow you factor that you would get at times with, you know, players like Marchand and Bergeron, like and Pasternak, like they don't have that. But I mean, how do you not respect guys, especially those big D-men like Colton Parayko?
Oh, Parayko.
Like that guy is an absolute stud. Pedrangelo, even Tarasenko, who did, was.
I'll tell you, and he's not the most physical guy in the world, but that Vince Dunn kid changed the series when he came back.
He did. And the other the kid from Salem, who was
Zach Sanford,
supposed to be nothing.
He was tremendous.
He was excellent.
He was out. That pass was filthy.
So, no, I think there's a little more skill there than we wanted to give credit to the St. Louis Blues. But again, on paper, I do still think the Bruins were the better team. They just weren't in that series, unfortunately. More of your calls coming up, and we'll play you some of the sound from breakup day. Yesterday, as the Bruins now will set off for the summer without the Stanley Cup. Would have been a perfect day here in the city, you know, near 80 degrees.
He probably would have been on location somewhere.
Would have been on location outside.
Did you see Kevin Paul DuPont's tweet?
No, what did he say?
I just quote tweeted it. He said, beautiful day out, plenty of duck boats, but no parade.
Aw. Yeah, no, that's pretty much what's happened here.
So true, but so mean.
Unfortunately.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, he's got multiple fractures, and it's been reinforced with two plates, you know, some wires and screws.
Yeah, like, through playoffs, dealing with some groin issues and an abdomen issue, but nothing that was too bad. Yeah, I just sprained it. I sprained it early on, and then I did it again in that exhibition, you know, the game there, inter-squad game, but it wasn't bad or anything like that, so it was all right.
I think everyone saw what happened in game two against Toronto, and And then from then on, I was kind of battling some things here and there, but nothing that I didn't think that I could, you know, play through. There's, you know, it's this time of year, it's just a matter of will. And
I mean, it's one of those things where it seems like we're all in that same situation, I guess, and you're trying to battle it and make the most of it, and you know, I'll never use that as an excuse. And, you know, every year comes with different challenges, and this time around was that, but it happened later in the playoffs too, so it wasn't the whole time, and it is what it is. You know, you have to try to make the most of it.
Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So Zdeno Chara, Brad Marchand, other walking wounded, talking yesterday about their injuries as the Bruins were wrapping up at breakup day, and you know, there's no excuses there, and people are asking, so of course we're going to find out about this stuff. Bit of a bad look, though, for the Bruins last night, apparently, at least in my opinion. I'll get to that in a second. Do want to remind you, though, the Who's Your Caddy Classic coming up, the 9th annual Who's Your Caddy Classic, happening Monday, July 15th, 2 p.m., Atkinson Resort and Country Club. Beautiful, beautiful golf course just across the border in Atkinson, New Hampshire. Starting this Monday morning at 9 a.m., reserve your spot at 98.5thesportshub.com if you want to golf. This usually sells out in minutes. Since I've been back with the Sports Hub full time, I've been at this event every year. It's always awesome, and it's worth it, especially if you're a good golfer, or if you just want to like play hooky for a day and, you know, be part of a good cause, because it's $150 per player. It all benefits the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston's Children Hospital. So join Tony Maz, Tutcher and Rich, Hardy, myself, and many others of the Sports Hub crew for a day of golf at the Who's Your Caddy Classic. And of all those I just mentioned, I assure you, I'm the worst. 98.5sportshub.com for more details. But again, this Monday, 9 a.m., if you want to reserve your spot. So a few people, you know, like sent me like a couple of DMs this morning on Instagram, which I usually don't like look at, but there's a couple of people that were at the Grand, the nightclub in the Seaport last night. They were like, what do you think of this? I was like, oh, what is this? And it's videos, it turns out, of like the Bruins really getting after it. Some members of the Boston Bruins at the Grand last night, which is as much of a like a Vegas nightclub, if you haven't been to, that you will find in the city here.
Cool spot.
It's maybe the most like un-Boston thing in Boston. I mean that as a compliment. And they're really getting after it. And now, you know, Dave Portnoy, of course, who, you know, is the head of Barstool, he's tweeting about it. He's written a column about it and how he finds it kind of like a bad look. And I tend to agree. This is where I might come off as an old and, you know, the grump yelling at the
cloud. Yeah,
I was
going to say, boy, you're a little hypocritical. You just last segment criticizing Shaughnessy. Now this is...
Oh, yeah, no, this is going to be my Shaughnessy moment.
Kind of doing the same thing.
And to steal the line that Portnoy used in his column, if you're going to act like you won the Stanley Cup, you need to win the Stanley Cup. And now he just posted another video of watching Tuukka Rask, who, again, you know, helped let everyone down in Game 7. It wasn't all his fault, but he was part of it. Again, how surprised was anyone about that? Just like the black sheep in the family, you know, is going to let you down eventually. He's on the mic with the DJ, getting the people all hyped up and whatnot. Like, I get it. You got to live your life. The season is over.
Yeah.
You beat yourself up. Just maybe don't do it in such a public place, or maybe go elsewhere. Like, I just, I don't know.
I have zero problem.
Really?
Zero. I don't. Yeah. Look, I mean, the other way you can sort of look at it is you're trying to take your mind off something that's going to be on your mind for a long time. And so what are they supposed to do? Like, sit in their houses in shame and sulk?
No.
Like, it's not going to change the outcome.
No.
They have to go out and live their lives. And just because we feel bad about it, and I know they feel bad about it because they've talked about it, but that doesn't mean like they're not allowed to go out and have fun. This sort of goes back to like the Jaylen Brown thing. Like, again, you know, athletes exist. They're human beings. They exist beyond just entertaining us and playing for our teams. And so to go out as a human being and try and take your mind off something bad, really, really bad that happened at work, I got no issue with it.
Fair. That's fair. And I, for the most part, Chris, I do mostly agree with you. What about...
But
let me show you this. What about shirts off with goggles, Brad Marchand? Now, isn't that typically a look that you would see that accompanies, I don't know, the Stanley Cup? Like, that to me is a bit much.
Okay, but I would... here's where I would agree with you. That's a bad look. But I would feel like that's a bad look regardless of whether they won or lost. He's making a little bit of a fool of himself. Where's Sean Thornton when you need him to, you know, sort of give him the vaudeville cane and yank him out of there?
Yeah.
But I would say that's a bad look because it's a bad look, not because they lost. And you know what bothers me is, I'll be honest with you, if he did that exact same thing and they won, people would be like, oh, that's great. And they treat it like a Gronk thing. And they'd be like, oh, that's cool. Like, he's here with his shirt off. Yeah. And it's like, actually, it's a bad look either way, but it's okay. Just, you know, you get dispensation because you won.
Thus so, the fine line between winning and losing.
I guess that's true. But I got no problem with these guys going out and trying to blow off some steam.
Tracy, I'm a little locked up here. Could you go to Cam on line one, please? Cam and Taunton, your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I mean, I hate that. I'm sorry. I mean, I haven't smiled in 3 days, and these guys are out partying. You know, Jim, I don't blame you for leaving early the other night because, I mean, I'm not going to say I turned the TV off, but I stopped paying attention to 2-0. I left it on. It was just background noise. But people like to say, like, where does this rank in terms of – I'm not going to lie. This hurt me more than Super Bowl 42.
Really?
And I know that sounds asinine. I know that sounds crazy. And as much – here's why. As much as Super Bowl 42 hurt and stung and was heartbreaking, we knew the Patriots were going to be back. Brady was still young. Belichick was still young. Not on that stage with that much history. But we all knew that their championship window was still wide open for years to come. This Bruins loss to me was a lot like the 2010 Celtics. We knew this was probably their last great chance. And that's what. And you lost to a team that you were better than. On both occasions, you lost to a team you were better than. And a game seven that you shouldn't have lost. So that's why this one hurt me so much, and because I think that was the last great chance for this core that is going to be viewed, at, in my opinion, as kind of underachievers.
Oh, yeah, no, Cam, and we talked about it earlier, Chris, like, you know, the legacy kind of takes a hit here for guys like Bergeron, Chara,
yeah,
this core
I don't know
here.
If it takes a hit, but it's a lost opportunity.
A dent. He used the word dent. It takes a dent. There should be. It feels like a bit of an underachievement. Considering the talent, it feels like they left one on the table, especially this year. In 2013, the Blackhawks, they were a wagon.
Yeah, they
They're arguably
yeah.
the best team, them or the Penguins, coin flip, the best team of the last decade or so.
Yeah, that was a
this,
good team.
This feels like a missed opportunity.
But here's the thing about it, and I'm not taking anything away from the Bruins, and I'm sort of, you know, defending them here. But the reality is, it's a lost opportunity. It sucked. Like, I'm with you. But I can't compare it to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots were the best team all year long. They had a chance to make history. Like, with the Bruins, if the Lightning win in the first round, the Bruins were out in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and 42 for me is number one with a bullet. And then there's a big drop-off, and then it's this, and then it's the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles in 53. 42, that was, Chris, that was like, that would have been immortality, you know?
Yeah, I know. And the other thing was that game you had the lead. Like, the game seven, like, I'll be honest with you, this is my opinion as a sports fan. In terms of Bruins losses of the last 10 years, I would put the 3-0 against the Flyers ahead of this, and I would put game 6 and 13 ahead. Yeah, because those were games they should have won. This game, they were never in this game.
Yeah.
It's like they never even showed up. So, I mean, it's like the result stinks, but the actual game, at no point during the game, as either a neutral observer journalist or putting my sports fan hat on, did I feel like the Bruins were in the game, you know?
Yeah.
At least after the first period. Let me say that.
Yeah.
Because the first period, you know, it's 0-0, whatever.
Yeah.
The tip goal goes in. But once it got to 2-0, like, that's completely different from that Flyers series. You're up 3-0 in the series and 3-0 in Game 7. In Game 6 and 13, you have a lead. And you let the Blackhawks score, what was it, 2 goals in 36 seconds?
Yeah.
You think you're going back to Chicago to play Game 7 and then it's over? Those, for me, were a lot more painful than this.
Who was in goal? Who gave up those 2 goals in 36 seconds?
Well, the defense wasn't great in front of him, but yeah, it was Tuca.
Ah, yes. The black sheep of the family. He's cleaned up. No, he's finally found a job. Everything's
Poor Tuca,
good. Everything's all good. You sure?
See,
he might disappoint us. No. Everything's all good with Uncle Pete. Uncle Pete is finally cleaned up. He's found Jesus. He's off the stuff. Everything's all good. Where's Pete?
No one's seen him in a few days. He's off on a bender.
Oh, you really surprised?
No. I mean, we all expected that, just like Tuca was going to let us down in Game 7. We all kind of knew it was coming.
Man, you're brutal. I'm Team Tuca. They hung that poor guy out to dry, man. They did.
He's already laying with goalie pads. We'll wrap up with this, Chris. We have 5 questions for Chris Gasper. We got nothing to do with sports. Coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper on the globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, so we
we wrap up the show each and every week here on Gaspar and Murray. Five questions. Chris Gaspar got nothing to do with sports. Let's dive right in, Chris. Question number one. The 25th anniversary, and I hate using that word, but it is what it is. It's been 25 years since the unfortunate murders of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. That was June 12th. Also have OJ making headlines for joining Twitter today as well. Aside from Michael Jordan, which long retired athlete, say before like 2005, would generate OJ-level interest from the media and public if he or she were accused of double murder today?
Jeez. Oh, that's a complicated question. So pre-what?
Pre-2005. And I know this is sort of a sports question, but it's more a murder question. So.
Okay. I'm going to say Bo Jackson.
Okay. But what about, like, Brett Favre or Gretzky?
Yeah, I almost went Gretzky. Gretzky would definitely...
Like, say Wayne Gretzky got accused of killing his hot daughter. Like, that would make national headlines and in Canada. Like, that'd be huge.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Gretzky. Yeah, that one would definitely do it. I'm trying to think who else.
Mike Tyson.
John Elway.
John Elway. Yeah. Killed a loved one with his giant mouth. Like, you know, a son just fell in. That thing is enormous. It's like a horse. Question number two. Earlier this week, visitors to the Skydeck ledge up on Chicago's Willis Tower got the fright of their lives when its protective layer cracked underneath them.
Oh.
The Skydeck, by the way, a 3-inch thick clear plastic balcony in which you stand to view the city of Chicago from 103 floors up. This has actually happened a few times in the last year. Would you ever go up on this thing?
No. I've been to Chicago many, many times, and I've never gone up there. Not a fan of the heights, so no, yeah, definitely
you,
not.
You can F right off with this. And the other thing, too, in Toronto, you can bungee jump off that stupid needle.
Oh, the CN Tower?
The CN Tower. Some of my friends wanted to do it. I was like, yeah, no. Like, no. $100,000 for me to even consider it.
The closest I ever came to this, I was in Vegas. This was like the early 2000s, and we were at... Ghost Bar in the Palms, and they had like the same sort of thing where you could like look down.
Yeah.
But I was so gone, I didn't even care.
Oh, well, look at me in my fancy times. Question number three, Father's Day is tomorrow. Do you or you and your siblings do anything special for your dad?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I'm the only one that's still in Massachusetts, so I'll drop by and say hello. And, you know, gift giving in my family is like pretty transactional. So my dad will be like, hey, you know, I had my eye on this like 57-inch big screen TV. I bought it for myself, but maybe you kids can contribute. That's kind of how it goes. So.
Yeah, you know, my dad, I've mentioned before, lives up in North Conway. I know he's listening right now on the Sports Hub app. Hi, Dad. And this is what he texted me about a half hour ago. Stay home and rest tomorrow. Well, no, I think he doesn't want to get what I have. Dad, I'm basically fine. It's a bad cough. We're coming whether you like it or not. Question number four. What's something you recently watched you'd recommend? TV show, movie, something?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. You know what? I didn't think I'd actually like this movie. I did not think I'd like it, and the song is so annoying. But I think A Star is Born was actually pretty good.
Oh, God,
Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, yeah.
We really
watched it the other night.
I really like the worst movies. That movie is such a piece of garbage. It starts off okay, and then it's too long, and you see where it's going. Oh, it's such
trash. I enjoyed it. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, of course you like that. It's so bad. If you have Showtime, or you can steal someone's password, the Wu-Tang documentary that's on there is the best thing you'll ever see if you're a fan of them. Even if you're not, it's a great story, how all those guys came up. Final question. What's the number one thing that you, Chris Gaspar, have to do each and every morning to get your day off to a good start?
Number one thing I have to do? I don't know if it's the number one thing I have to do, but I did tweet this week with Jay King of The Athletic. I make the bed every day.
Like, really?
That's non-negotiable. Like I would just say making the bed. Because, well, first of all, if you don't make the bed, how can you lay out your clothes?
Oh, God. Yeah. You do keep living up to what I think about you. Like just how like OCD you are and how everything has to be perfect. I don't think I've made a bed in 30 years.
Oh, my God. Non-negotiable. Every day, make the bed, including the like little throw pillows. Like, you got to put it all back together the way it's supposed to be.
Little spritz of Glade. Make sure everything smells nice.
It has to be. And not no like little wrinkles too. Should be totally flat,
like a military style. And bounce a quarter off that thing. It's great. You know, you're a better man than me. I haven't made a bed in 30 years. Mine's just to get coffee or not die. That will do it for us. Gaspar Murray here. You should really applaud us today. Even if you didn't really like the show all that much, it's that we were here in the first place because we played hurt today. No one more sick in history than Chris Gaspar and yours truly as we wrap up here. Thanks to Mike Sarge-Riley, who did the headlines throughout the show, Tracy Clements, who produced today's show, and you at 617-779-0985. The phone number you'll need to use to get on with Joe Murray and Ted Johnson coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday. Felger and Maz. Bye.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers Get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.